This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of April 30th, 2012. Well, just a program note, our first Cornell Turfgrass webinar in the series begins May 16, 2012, and it's delivered right to your desktop with DEC credits and GCSAA credits available. Turf Fertilization in an Age of Restrictions by Marty Petrovic. And you can get more information about this exciting new webinar with DEC credits and GCSAA credits available right to your desktop at our Cornell Turfgrass website. Some welcome moisture and with it increased risk for dollar spot this week. Also, the moisture has rejuvenated interest in renovations and establishment. Keep in mind the turf will be under significant weed pressure at this time, so check out the information in this issue on weed control at establishment. There are some new tools. We have an excellent update this week from Pam Charbonneau on the Canadian pesticide ban in year three. Certainly, this is very timely for our school grounds folks in the second year of the Child Safe Playing Field Act. Be sure to sign up for our new webinar series being launched in 2 weeks, and the 2012 guidelines are out and available online and for purchase in print. Well, a break in above normal temps this week, with most of the region within a degree of normal. Oddly, now this season is identical to last season's growing degree day total at this time, and still about 1 to 2 weeks ahead of the historical normal. Soils are cooling in the mid-40s to the north and mid to upper 50s in the south. A welcome reprieve from the dry conditions as most areas got 1 to 2 inches, and some areas along the I-94 corridor, 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. Very little ET at about a half an inch for the week. This is helping make up the 6 to 8 inch deficit that had the region 25 to 50% of normal precip. The nature of the rainfall this time also helped in that it was slow and steady, for the most part allowing for good soil infiltration. The presence of the puffball stage of dandelion indicates that timing is here for spring dandelion control. Also, as the moisture comes in later in the week, expect our first high risk of dollar spot and foliar anthracnose. And finally, the forecast. After a dry start to the week, expect some strong storms to move in Wednesday, Thursday, and a warming pattern. Early in the week, temperatures will be cooler than back to normal at 60s for highs and 40s for low. By week's end, expect temps to be above normal, and then a warm, dry period will begin. And you can check out all the weather information at our forecast website. The Cornell Cooperative Extension Update begins with Walt Nelson's Western New York report. Forsythia has quickly gone to mostly green, dandelion passing rapidly to puffball with a few cooler sites still yellow. The cranefly adults of older ACE and larvae pallidosa observed in several areas of the community. Poetra vialis taking over a home lawn. Sodded lawn slow to green. Clients are frustrated. Customer demand drove a garden retailer to stock, selling well, milky spore. Observed fertilizer prills and standing water on sports fields. The Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik and Tamsin Yeh. Cooler temperatures and rainfall in the 2 to 3 inch range, depending on your location, have created real good growing conditions for turf this past week. Those areas that are showing signs of stress and browning out during the warm and dry weather can be seen recovering nicely this week. Sod growers are not watering sod fields due to adequate rain and cool temperatures. Irrigation systems, though, can still be seen running on lawns and landscapes. The CCE Diagnostic Lab in Suffolk County has been receiving inquiries in the last week on how much water lawns should be receiving because of the drier weather and or now since cooler temperatures and rainfall have occurred. Also, weeds are again the problem this week, including dandelion, hairy bittercress, henbit, and wild strawberry. I'm starting to notice that annual bluegrass is starting to yellow and can be seen as light-colored spots in lawns. The Capital District report from Dave Trinery. We had 3.2 inches of rain from the weekend storm in Rensselaer County, and the development of trees, perennials, and turf has taken a leap forward since. There's continued interest in hairy bittercress with additional reports of it in turf and landscape beds. This week, we've also gotten questions about equisetum in turf and beds, grubs in a home lawn, and from a school under the pesticide ban, what can be done about dandelions. And finally, the Adirondack report from Emily Selleck. Extremely dry and windy conditions made it almost impossible to water properly, so consequently many areas are truly in drought. It is possible that when snow melts, everything will explode and start, an early summer growth spurt will start. Mowing in the Champagne Valley, raking in the mountain, and chipmunks making nuisance hole in many lawns. The regional update, Randy Prostak giving us a spring weed update. Randy's from the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. Spring broadleaf weed control. The benefit of fall application of broadleaf herbicides is well established. Most perennial broadleaf weeds and even the winter annuals for a twofer are best controlled with application in September to early November period. Still, this provides little solace for lawn care professionals tasked with eliminating weeds from clients' lawns this spring. It is too late now to get much effective control of the winter annuals, such as hairy bittercress and chickweed, that is well into flowering. However, the forecast website indicates we are at perfect timing for control of perennials such as dandelion and clover with standard three-way products. The ester formulation is ideal, and maybe by the end of the week, the amine formulation will be an ideal timing for the southern end of the region. An update on the cosmetic pesticide ban from Pam Charbonneau, the Omafra turf extension specialist based in Guelph, Ontario. The cosmetic pesticide ban began April 22, 2009, leaving only a handful of biopesticides and reduced-risk products. In the last few years, weeds have been a major issue for those still interested in providing selective control, especially of broadleaf weeds such as dandelion and clover. Fiesta, the chelated iron product from Scotts, is the most widely used product. A recent label change now allows for 4 applications at lower use rates. It still does not perform as well as the standard three-way herbicides and has turned what was a very low-cost practice to a very high-cost practice, as the iron products can be very expensive. It appears the strategy at this point is 2 spring applications at this time and another 2 applications in the fall. Regarding insects, heading into the third year of the ban, it is clear that any residual insecticide control used prior to the ban is now beginning to wear off. Last fall, there was significant grub damage, and now it is being seen again this spring. Not much has changed from the old recommendations for spring control, as it was not recommended to make a spring insecticide applications. Several firms have begun to investigate the use of nematodes for lawn grub control. The success of this practice will be based on the amount of water able to be applied. This will require homeowners to pre-wet lawns and then follow up with moisture. Also, lawn care firms will go to split shifts as applications cannot be made in the middle of the day. So there will be an early AM app, then park the truck and back out late afternoon, evening. Again, as with weed control, this went from a very cost-effective pest control with insecticides to a potentially cost-prohibitive practice. And finally, how the industry has adapted. There was an initial reduction in professional lawn care firms immediately after the ban was enacted, and now 3 years into it, the industry is adapting and offering increased cultural management services. There is a growing sense that lawns and sports turf areas may become viewed as short-lived perennial systems. This means that once every 5 to 7 years, an area will be completely renovated and regrassed to solve persistent pest and traffic problems. In fact, many municipalities that have been dealing with bans for the last 20 years have already begun to adopt this strategy and prioritize need. For example, fields that are lit and heavily used get the treatment more frequently. Still, this is more for larger municipalities that have funds and staff. Medium-sized and small munis are not able to enact this approach, and field quality is visibly declining. My gazing in the grass update for this week with a note about weed management at establishment. Turf managers traditionally avoid seeding cool season turf in spring due to summer annual weed interference and poor growing conditions for cool season grasses. Sidgeron, or 2%, is the most accepted herbicide for weed control in spring seeded turf, but it has low residual activity and does not control many weeds other than crabgrass. Mesotrione, or Tenacity, and Quinclorac, found in the premixed Square One, were evaluated in a study at Virginia Tech as alternatives to 2%. Single applications of these herbicides control crabgrass equivalent to or better than Sidgeron. Sequential applications of Mesotrione or Quinclorac effectively control smooth crabgrass without injuring cool season turf-type tall fescue. Mesotrione controlled broadleaf plantain, henbit, and yellow wood sorrel. Quinclorac marginally controlled henbit, and terpersan did not control broadleaf weeds. Turfgrass cover 9 weeks after seeding was dependent on environment and equivalent between treatments, except at a location with predominantly broadleaf weeds, where 2% treatments resulted in less cover due to weed infestation. Sequential applications of mesotrione and quinclorac provide an effective, safe option for chemical weed control during the establishment of cool season turfgrass. A note about bluegrass, ryegrass, sports turf mixtures. Athletic fields composed of equivalent proportions of Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass are desirable in temperate climates for traffic tolerance, disease resistance, aesthetics, and playability. Seeding mix recommendations vary widely, and there is disagreement among the scientific literature regarding species proportions in seed mixtures. The lack of consistency may be due to variation among Kentucky bluegrass cultivars. A classification system has been developed, which groups cultivars by growth habit and performance. Objectives of a project conducted at UW-Madison were to determine if the type of Kentucky bluegrass and mixtures affected turf composition and to determine if competitive differences existed among cultivars within a group when blended and mixed with perennial ryegrass. Field plots were seeded to mixtures containing 95, 85, 75, 65, 50, and 25% Kentucky bluegrass by weight, blends of each of four groups of aggressive, compact, Barren, Victa, Merit, Gnome, or the BVMG, and common types. Simulated football traffic was applied during autumn using a Brinkman traffic simulator. The project was repeated. The mixtures containing 50% or more Kentucky bluegrass, aggressive, and BVMG types were more competitive with perennial ryegrass than common types, while compact types had intermediate results. Only mixtures containing 95% aggressive or BVMG types resulted in turf composed of 50% or more Kentucky bluegrass within 20 months of establishment in both trials. Cultivar within a blend were not equally competitive with one another in mixtures seeded at either high or moderate amounts of Kentucky bluegrass. Early season dollar spot control. The benefits of early season fungicide application for dollar spot control are well established. Published studies have concluded that propiconazole, boscalid, iperdione, and vinclozolin all provide a benefit in overall reduction in season-long fungicide use. Our own Cornell research has demonstrated the value of early season tank mix combination of Civitas and Emerald, boscalid, when applied at 28 and 35 days respectively. We recommend making the first two applications, then rotating in another chemistry to avoid persistent use of boscalid that might be prone to resistance. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the associate professor in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.